That I've called Blessings of the Faith. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 9. Give your attention now, as this is a reading of God's holy word. Remember that the Bible is not a book that contains the word of God. It is the word of God. It is God-breathed, inspired, inerrant, and infallible, and it is our only rule of faith and practice. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, and their tongues, with their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So far in the reading of the word of the living God. Let's once again approach the throne of grace. Our Father, we have read your word and sung your praise and given to you part of all that you have blessed us with in worship. And so now we would worship you by hearing your word. We've not come to be impressed by men. We would be impressed by your Spirit, giving us open eyes and open hearts to receive the word of the living God, that we might honor you and apply that word to our lives in the days that lie ahead of us this week. Hear us, O Lord, and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, faith is accepting Christ's righteousness and trusting your soul to His righteousness in place of your sinfulness. Believers are not righteous in themselves. They are only righteous in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made Christ to be sin for us. That's a transaction, a substitution. believers are, Colossians tells us, complete in Him. And so by the life of Christ, by His righteousness, by the substitution of Christ for me, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then, and only then, does Christ's righteousness become your righteousness. We are justified by Christ's righteousness, not ours. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, 23, verse 6, has that wonderful, in all of your Bibles, you see it in all caps. It's such an important little phrase. Jeremiah 23, 6 says what? The Lord, our righteousness. It is the Hebrew phrase, Yahweh Zidkenu. It is a powerful, powerful two words in the Bible. It speaks of the imputation of righteousness that is given to you by faith. Not a righteousness you have, but a righteousness you receive. And we read here in Romans 3, verse 24, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so our text also says that very same thing. Justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the great blessings of faith, justification. In fact, there is no subject more worthy of your consideration than this question. How can you be right with God? There's not a more pointed, a more practical, a more important question that you could ever ask. How can you be right with God? And yet, this subject has caused more debate. This subject, the justification of sinners, caused the Reformation. This subject has hundreds of books written about it, justification. And if you search on the internet, justification by faith, there are 544,000 plus or minus websites that can talk to you about justification by faith. Many of them not worth going to. There are blogs and there are articles and there are all kinds of things about this subject. Why? Why is that the case? Because people know in their heart that they have sinned. And ultimately, if a person is rational, they come to a place where they ask themselves, what am I going to do about this sin? What am I going to do about that? And what some people do is evade the question, or ignore the question, or say, well, I'll just let time and circumstance take care of that. And if I go to hell, I go to hell, and if I don't, well, that's fine too. And that's a foolish way to approach it. Well, why do people do that? Well, because they refuse to accept the diagnosis of their condition, which is simply this. You have broken God's law, and you have been sentenced to death. And God's justice demands that that penalty be paid. You've earned that penalty. And God's justice requires a payment. And God's only answer to this question, how can I be right with God, is this. A sinner is justified and saved by means of righteousness. You must have righteousness. It was righteousness that God demanded of Adam. I want you to obey this one law. He was demanding righteousness. And when Adam sinned, he lost the right to life. And because God's character is unchangeable and holy and infinite, only when a sinner can plead a righteousness more than enough to meet the demands of God's law, only when a sinner can plead a righteousness more than enough to satisfy God's justice, only then can you be right with God. And only then can you be justified in the sight of God. So we want to consider tonight justifying righteousness under these 6 points. Justification by the Word, justification by substitute, justification by man, justification by God, justification by command, justification by faith. So first of all, justification by the Word. We read in verse 19 of our reading tonight, now we know that whatever the law says, and verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. God has revealed His will. God has put forward His Word. Is that not what He did in the garden with Adam? He told Adam, here's what I want you to not do. Here's the one thing I want you to not do. And He told Adam, if you do it, here's the consequence. You're going to lose your privileges. There's going to be a punishment. And since God's Word is law, the demands of the law were not met by Adam. He did not meet those demands. In fact, the demands of God's law were violated. We call that sin. And as a matter of fact, is that not what the serpent did in the tempting of Eve? He questioned God's Word. If you remember the first question ever asked in the history of the world, is that what God really said? Is that really what the Bible says? Is that really what God expects? And this is what temptation does all the time. When temptation comes to you, it questions God's Word. And it says things like, well, everyone else is doing it. What's the big deal? Or it says things like, I'm not as bad as that guy. She's much worse than me. But here's the problem. Even if you minimize sin by saying those things, you're still guilty of breaking God's law. You've broken it. We read here, verses 10 and 12, there is none righteous, no, not one. By the way, that not one includes you. You're not righteous. You don't have a righteousness that will meet God's demands in yourself. And I love that phrase in 19, that all the world may become guilty before God, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. When your conscience tells you that you are in trouble with God, where will you turn? You will not turn to your record. Your record will not cut it. You'll not turn to your life. Your life has not been perfect. In fact, the fallen creation that we live in is silent about your problem. There is nothing in nature that you can discover, observe, or marvel at that will solve your sin problem. Nothing in creation. Grand Canyon, marvelous as it is, will not solve your sin problem. That beautiful moon out there tonight, will not solve your sin problem. Might make you write a poem, but it won't solve your sin problem. How can I be right with God and God still be righteous? How can God still be just and justify me? God's word says you've broken the law, but God has also spoken another word. And that's the promise of the gospel. And that promise was also made in the garden. He said to them, he said to Eve, from you, from your seed, the Redeemer is going to come. The second Adam was going to come. And a voice comes from the Bible to save sinners from the despair of answering this question, how can I be right with God? Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That word also comes to us. And the sinner's hope that was revealed in Eden, that was on display in the sacrifices of Israel, every lamb, every goat, every dove, every animal that was slain, every sacrifice that was burnt. That gospel, that sinner's hope was heard in the prophets. He is coming. Messiah is coming. All of those things were speaking of one. One person who would keep the law of God and bear the penalty due the law. And then rise again from the dead on the third day. And that person, of course, is Jesus Christ. The whole New Testament reveals that God has provided a righteousness for sinners. That God can be just when He justifies. Holy when He blesses the unholy. He can still be righteous when He gives mercy to the unrighteous. And God's word on justification is the final word, the only word, the living word. Have you heard this word? Has it entered your heart that your righteousness won't cut it? And the righteousness that we need is a justification by substitute. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So your righteousness will never be enough righteousness. Even if you advance along the road of works righteousness very far, your righteousness would never be enough to satisfy God's demand. Because what is God's demand? Perfect obedience. Unfaltering obedience. Can you offer that? No. Because the least little sin condemns you for all eternity. Because God is infinitely holy, infinitely perfect, infinitely righteous, and the least little sin against that infinite holiness demands an infinite payment, an infinite punishment. And brothers and sisters, if the law is ever going to release its grip on you, it will not be because of your righteousness in any way. But it will be, it must be, because of the righteousness of another. Philippians 3, verse 9. Not my own righteousness from the law, but the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's the righteousness you need. That's the substitute righteousness you must have. And if you don't have it, you're in big trouble. In fact, many people are trying to get to heaven by a different door. Unfortunately, that different door that they're trying to get into heaven by often closes in their own face. Because you can't, there isn't any other door. You know, it's the door that Mr. Worldly Man tries to get in by. You know, well, I'm not as bad as others. I haven't done terrible things. I've done some bad things, but I haven't done what Jeffrey Dahmer did or Hitler did. So doesn't that count for something? No, it doesn't. If you ask Mr. Do-Good, he will say, well, I've done all these charitable deeds. Look at all the money I've given to missions and the little children I've helped and the old ladies I've helped across the street. Doesn't that count for something? Doesn't my niceness count for something against my sin? The answer is no. Your niceness is never going to be perfect holiness. Or if you ask Mr. Sanctimonious, he says, well, I really try. I try to do my best. Side note, dangerous, pray for me. But did you see Mrs. Clinton answer that question last week from Scott Pelley? Have you ever told a lie? No, I don't believe I ever have, she said. I was stunned. I hit rewind. I can't. What did you just say? I listened to it three times. I don't believe I ever have. Won't God count that as something? Well, no. Just that's George Costanza theology, by the way. If you believe it, it's not really a lie. Well, that's foolishness. No, your efforts will not count as enough. Listen, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You need a holiness that's not yours. You need the holiness of Jesus Christ, or you have none. But this justification is also by man. 3:24, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Who was this man? Well, remember, let's go way back again. God was dishonored on earth by man. He was rebelled against by man. So if man is going to be redeemed, it must be done on earth as well. It wasn't in heaven that God was dishonored, or an angel could have redeemed us. It was on earth, by a man, the creation, that God was dishonored. And so, flesh and blood human beings fell in their transgression against God. Real people, human beings. And so God said the Redeemer would be the same flesh and blood. That's what He said in Genesis 3. The Redeemer is coming from you, Eve. And in your seed, in your generations to come, the Redeemer is going to come from there. He's going to be a man, born of a woman. The seed of a woman would bruise the head of a serpent. A child of Adam, a human being, was going to redeem mankind. And Romans 5, verse 18 says, through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift comes to all men, resulting in the justification of life. One man failed us, and sin came to all the world. One man, Jesus Christ, did not fail us, did not fail God in any way, and thereby the free gift. The substitution of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. It's not just the substitution of Christ's death that saves a sinner. It's His life. Without His life, without His active obedience, there's no hope. None. In fact, virtually almost Jay Gresham mentions last words. The active obedience of Christ. No hope without it. And so Jesus Christ was born of a woman, born under the law. That is, He had requirements to keep. And He kept them perfectly. Even though we never could live that way. So He became what Hebrews 7 verse 22 says is a surety of a better covenant. A guarantee. The guarantee of the better covenant is Jesus Himself. He guarantees a believer a place in glory. How? By His perfect life. By His sufficient death. By His powerful resurrection. The Son of Man is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so yes, there is a justification by man, but it is also justification by God. Jesus was a man. But Jesus was, is, and will always be the I Am. He is the Creator of all things. He is the one who spoke and all things came into being. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is all God in every way and yet distinct in this one way. He took on human flesh. Because if Jesus is not both God and man, there could be no redemption at all. Because no mere human could be perfect enough. And while Jesus was all human, He was also all God. And that's been debated back and forth in the history of the world as well. But in order to be the spotless Lamb of God, the righteousness of a mere man would be utterly insufficient to cover sin. Because no mere man would be able to keep the law in exhaustive detail. And so the righteousness by which a sinner is justified is the righteousness of a divine person. That's very hard for us to contemplate because we're not divine. We're not God-man. We have this old man and this new man struggling in us, but it's not a God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. He is Yahweh Zidkenu. He is the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord of glory becomes the Son of Man to redeem rebel sinners from the curse of the law. What a transaction! God stoops to take on the human nature so that fallen sinners can become the sons and daughters of God. It is the righteousness of this one mediator between God and man, Jesus, who is both God and man in one person forever. It is this being, this person that answers the demands of God's law and answers the demands of God's justice. The penalty was paid. The perfect Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, the infinitely holy Jesus bears the penalty of our infinite sin. And God Himself subjected Himself to the law on behalf of His children. His very coming is substitutionary. He's going to stand in the place of Adam. He's going to stand in your place. And He obeyed the law in your place. That's justification by man and by God. But this justification is not just an option that you can choose, by the way. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says that God commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. And with that proclamation of the gospel, with that proclamation of the command, righteousness is put within the reach of all who hear. Remember how many times the Bible says, whosoever believes. Whosoever means whosoever. Whoever has a heart changed by the Spirit has everlasting life. As long as you receive it, as long as you accept it, Romans 3:24 is true, justified freely by His grace. God gives you a gift that you must accept. You have to receive it in order for it to be a blessing to you. Every sinner who hears the gospel is invited. Every sinner who hears the gospel is commanded to flee to Jesus for refuge. There's no other way. There's no other righteousness. There's no other life that's perfect but His. Therefore, verse 28, a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The righteousness of God comes to all and on all who believe through faith. Verse 24. A believer is covered by the righteousness of Christ. That's the condition. Believe, and you have that righteousness. Because faith unites you to Christ. That's why the union of Christ is so important. A believer becomes one with Christ by faith. And that's what we mean by saying we put on the robe of righteousness. It's not a robe that I can go buy. It's not a robe that I can craft myself. It's not a robe that I can make. It's Christ's righteousness that I must put on by faith. And when you put that, when you become one with Christ by faith, you put that righteousness on yourself. That's what justification by faith means. In fact, a believer is someone who is being dealt with as one who obeyed. You have not obeyed. But justification is being dealt with as if you had obeyed. That's the substitutionary nature of Christ's righteousness. You are being dealt with as one who suffered, like Christ suffered. When you put your faith in what He's accomplished, you have had your penalty dealt with. By His stripes we are healed. And faith is accepting Christ's righteousness. Faith is trusting your soul to the righteousness that is what the Puritans used to call an alien righteousness. A righteousness outside of yourself. Not a righteousness in yourself. And when you believe that way, when you believe that Jesus has lived and died in the place of you, a sinner, when you accept that, when you recognize your righteousness will never do, that is being justified by faith. The question is simply that. Have you done that? Have you stopped believing that you could be good enough for God to accept? That you could tick off enough religious duties and checklist enough things that God would say, oh, there He's finally completed the task. Now He's acceptable. Now I will bring her into my family. No, there's nothing that you could do. No level of religious duties could you accomplish that would make God say, oh, now He's acceptable. So unless you have, by faith, put your trust, your case, in Christ's hands, unless you do that, you are still unrighteous in God's eyes. And you will have to pay for your sin yourself. That's why we believe in hell. There are those who are going to pay for their sin themselves for all eternity. And they're never going to pay the debt. That's why hell is eternal. But then there's that. See, all of this in Romans 3 and Romans 4 is leading up to Romans 5, verse 1. A tremendous, unbelievably tremendous verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That is justification. And that is why fighting the war on justification, when I say war, I mean debating people like N.T. Wright and the new Paul, the new perspective on Paul, and those theological battles are worth fighting. Because unless you're justified by faith in Christ, you're not justified. I hope you're justified by faith alone. Let's pray.